Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Well, come on, good morning, church. Come on, if you love Jesus, why don't you just give Jesus a big round of applause all across this house? Wow. Looking good. Hey, look at your neighbor before you sit down. Just say, neighbor, did you lose weight? You know, that always feels good. You can grab a seat today. That never hurts to hear that, you know? Yeah, actually, I did. What an honor, what a privilege to be in Baton Rouge at the Healing Place Church. How many out there, you love your church? Come on, put your hands together if you love your church. Man, we have really had just a fantastic weekend. Thank you. I just want to piggyback on what all these guys have been saying. Thank you so much for sending your students. We really saw a move of God take place. And I just love the theme of the conference, devoted. I believe this church is raising up a generation of young people that are not just about public emotion, but they're really about private devotion. Someone said amen. And I'm telling you what, man, it was something else to see young people crying out to God, tears in their eyes. We just had a mighty, mighty time in His presence. But it's all possible because of parents like you who sent their young people to this conference. So I just want to say another big thank you. We love this church. Our family's been friends of this church for a lot of years, and I love the leadership of this house, and I just think it's the right thing to do today. Can we just make sure that we give honor where honor is due? Can we give a big round of applause to Pastor Mike and Rachel doing a phenomenal job today? Love these guys, man. So encouraging. And then I just think, you know, it's subjective, but I just think you probably have the greatest youth pastors really in all of the country. I really love Jason and Jen Laird a whole bunch. He dresses really nice. His pants are a little tight, but hey, don't hold it against him. Can we go ahead and give it up for Jason and Jen one time, man? Love you guys. Love you so much. And man, the 9 a.m. service. I like 9 a.m. church. I just think anyone who goes to church at 9 a.m. should automatically go to heaven. Someone said amen. You really love Jesus. You're here early. And, I come from Miami, as Jason was telling you. Please pray for us tonight. We are waging war tonight with the enemy. There is a major basketball game, 7 p.m. I need you all in your prayer closets praying tonight. We lost game one, but the battle is the Lord's. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in San Antonio. I don't care who's praying for San Antonio. San Antonio is short for demon. That's Greek for demon. I'm kidding. But we could use your prayers. We got a big game today. But come from an inner city urban church, man. Church full of lots of different people. We got ex-gang members and ex-drug addicts and ex-strippers and jokers and smokers and midnight tokers. And I'm just talking about the pastoral staff. It gets worse as you meet more of them. And God's been doing something awesome. I get to serve alongside my parents, Pastors Rich and Robin Wilkerson. They happen to be the greatest parents, but they happen to be the best pastors as well. And my wife and I had joined the team about 6 years ago, and we oversee our youth ministries there. We started on a Tuesday night with about 12 people, and since that time, man, God has just multiplied it. We see close to 1,000 people gather every Tuesday night in church. Last week we were preaching, and I just got the count, something like 33 people gave their life to Jesus for the first time. I don't know about you, but I think He deserves a big round of applause. Someone said amen. I think God's moving. I think God is building His church. And I think the church's best days are in front of her, not behind her. Someone said amen. And I'm just one of those kind of people. I just believe in the local church. And I love the great state of Louisiana. My wife, she's from Shreveport, Louisiana. So I just exported her right out of there, and she's there in Miami with me. We've been married. It will be 7 years this August. 7 years. And thank you. I like that. Thank you, people. Thank you. If I was working for Laban, I would just now be getting ready to get Rachel. But praise God, I got Rachel off the bat. That's the trick right there. You want to get Rachel from the beginning. You don't want Leah in the beginning. You want Rachel. Leah, the Bible says, was the weak-eyed one. That's King James for ugly. Anyways, I got Rachel off the bat. Hey, did you bring a Bible to church? Let me see all the Bibles in the house. Anyone got any? Oh, whoa. See, this is the 9 a.m. service. I like that. Let's see leather and paper. Anyone with leather or paper? Let's see, like, the real Christians. Well, okay, let's see the iPhones and the iPads. Oh, sweet Jesus, help us. It's just, what are you going to do when, like, it's time to, like, you know, you got to cast a demon out. That battery's going low. Pull up Angry Birds. That won't work. No. Here's what I can tell you to do. If you don't have a Bible, go to the nearest hotel. You have my permission. And the door to the drawer to the left, just steal you a Gideon, okay? That's okay. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Excited to preach. Come from a church in the inner city. People shout at you when you're preaching good. They shout at you even louder when you're preaching bad. And you can say amen. You can say I like that. You can say preach it, white boy. I don't really care. But I'm going to need you to respond just a little bit today. It makes me feel like I'm at home just a little bit. On the count of three, why don't we just try one of those? That will help me out. Ready? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Whoa. Inappropriate. That whole section is full of racists right there in the center. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Is it okay if I just read some Bible this morning? I'm not talking about like two verses. I think I'm going to read, if it's okay, because this is the 9 a.m. service. You love Jesus and you love his word. I'm going to read 15 plus verses. Is that okay? Oh, look, people get excited about that. I like that. That's when you know you're, oh, yeah, more. Read more. We want more verses. Okay, yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Here we go. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. These are Jesus' words. The Bible says that Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. Everyone say two sons. Oh, you sound good. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he came to his senses. Oh, I could preach that all day. How many of y'all know that sin doesn't even make sense? Someone said amen. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. How many of you are thankful that when you were a long way off, your father in heaven saw you, had compassion for you, ran towards you, wrapped his arms around you, has a plan for you, has a purpose for you? You ought to just take 10 seconds right now and give him a real shout of praise all across this house. Oh, this is church gone wild, 9 a.m. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to party. Doesn't say that, but that's how I interpret it. Meanwhile, everyone say meanwhile. Meanwhile. The older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard the dancing and heard the music. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look! All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Come on, if you believe that, can you just go ahead and give Jesus a mighty round of applause? I want to take a few moments this morning, if you wouldn't mind. I want to preach a message to you. Hopefully you're taking notes. Research has shown us that 98% of people who take notes make it to heaven. So take notes. I want to preach to you simply titled this message, Traits of the Older Brother. Traits of the Older Brother. Can we just pray? Lord, we love you. We praise you. We sense you in this house today. We know that you are good. We know that you have a good plan in store for us today. Lord, I pray that as we are in your presence, Lord, that God, you would speak to us. Lord, we are not perfect, but we are being perfected. Today, Jesus, it is our heart's desire that we would be transformed into your image. Lord, we've all walked in one way, but it's our prayer and our desire that we would leave differently, changed by your word. And now, like the psalmist prayed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And if you believe it today, all of God's people said. Amen. Come on, all of God's people said. Amen. Come on, if you love Jesus one more time, give him a shout today. I'm going to make you work today a little bit. I just turned 29 this past year. And I don't know if that's necessarily good news. If I'm going off of Jesus' life, that means next year ministry really starts. That means in 3 years I get crucified, and who knows. But it marked kind of an interesting year for me because it really marked over a decade of preaching this gospel. I started preaching when I was 17 years of age. I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal preacher. If you're new to church, you're saying, what does that mean? That just means I spit a lot when I talk. But I grew up in a funny home. I grew up with strong Pentecostal, charismatic parents. We were the type of family, you know, we never got to celebrate Halloween. No, we had Hallelujah Day instead, and couldn't ever dress up like a vampire or skeleton. I was just a disciple every year, and it's not that funny. It's kind of tough, actually, growing up in my house. And my dad, he used to teach me how to preach, and I remember when I was younger, he gave me the number one rule. He said, Rich, the number one rule when you're preaching is you have to know who your audience is. You've got to know who it is that you're preaching to. Well, I'll never forget, I was about 18 years of age, and I was in my freshman year of college, and I just had this burden, this passion to preach the gospel. And the summer was coming up, and I had this idea that I would take that summer and I would preach in different youth ministries across the East Coast. And so we put a little worship team together. We got a little program together. And we even got ourselves a name. We named our group Broken. Like, we're broken, but God, it was awesome. Anyways, we had the whole thing planned out. And Dad booked us all up across the East Coast. And I'll never forget, about 2 weeks before I left, I was watching Christian television. It doesn't really matter who I was watching, but anyways, you're here, it's me, it's you, we trust each other. But I was watching this preacher, his name's Morris Cirillo. And I don't know if you've ever heard Morris Cirillo talk, but when Morris Cirillo talks, he's got this voice, and you'll never forget it. And he was telling a story. He said, when I was younger, I was preaching in South America. I'm like, oh, his voice just sounds spiritual. I was preaching in South America, and the audience would not quit laughing. They were talking and laughing, and so I finally got fed up with it. And I looked across at the sea of people, and I said, the next person who makes a noise, God will strike you dead. Lots of people got saved that night. As a young man, I watched. I said, oh, I want that. Fast forward 2 weeks later, I'm in Philadelphia. And I walked into a youth ministry that I was unprepared for. This place was out of control. I'll never forget, I was standing in the back during worship. This kid, he steps up to me during worship, pulls out a box of cigarettes and starts smoking. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. I know they smoke out there, but they're smoking in here. You're like, Rich, you are judgmental. You can be a Christian and smoke cigarettes. Sure you can. You'll just get to heaven before the rest of us. Hello. Anyways. I mean, he's smoking. This is good worship. I'm like, yeah, oh, dear Jesus. And finally, it's my time to come up to preach, and they introduce me. And I'm not going to lie, when I was younger, I didn't have much content. I just had passion, baby. And so I'm up there, and I'm just shouting, good to see you, young people. God loves you. You're probably going to hell. But if you trust in Jesus, he can save you. I'm just screaming, right? In the middle of my message, this dude, second row, he stands up. Says, hey, preacher, shut up. Has anyone ever yelled so loud it kind of made you pee your pants? Me neither. I mean, they don't teach you this in Bible college, preaching 101. What do you do when you start getting heckled? So I took a couple drama classes. I was like, I'm going to keep the show going. And then Elijah came to Mount Carmel, and God said to Elijah, call down fire. I'm just preaching. The guy goes, hey, preacher, do you hear me? Shut up. I'm like, this kid, you know, and then I just keep going. The kid's standing up. Everybody's looking at him. Hey, preacher, he's stomping. Do you hear me? Shut up. Finally, I had enough. I thought to myself, oh, this is my Morris Cirillo moment. I stopped. I put the best preacher eyes on I've got. Been watching my dad for years. I said, son, which is kind of weird, okay? Because I'm like 18, he's like 16, son, I don't know. Son, you better watch your mouth. The next words that you say, they might just be your last. I got the power of the Holy Spirit running through my body right now. You better watch your tongue. If I were you, I'd sit down in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't shut up in there right now in the name of Jesus, your last words, they might just be what you just said. I walked away. I thought I had schooled him, you know, like, oh, you just got served, you know, backed up from the conversation. This kid, without any hesitation, looks right back at me and says, hey, shut up. Nobody got saved that night. Worst meeting of my life, man. I'm going, the kid's heckling me. I kind of peed my pants. I don't think I should ever preach again, you know. And I had this moment right as it was all going down. It can be really dangerous if you don't know who you're preaching to. What I love about Jesus, please understand something about him, is that he wasn't just a miracle worker. He was the greatest preacher this world ever saw. One of the reasons why was because he always knew who he was preaching to. I'm going somewhere with this. Luke chapter 15 has often been dubbed and titled the story of the prodigal son. However, Jesus never called this the story of the prodigal son. Rather, he starts off by saying, I want to tell you a story about two sons. Why? Because on that day, Jesus had two crowds of people standing in front of him. On one side, he had the tax collectors, and he had what you'd call the quote-unquote sinners. And so he told a story about a younger brother who took his father's inheritance and squandered it on wild living. But on the contrary, he had a totally different group of people over here. He had the church people. He had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious folks. And so he said, I want to tell you another story. It's the story of the older brother. See, just because I stand in a garage, it doesn't make me a car. And just because you sit in a chair in a church, it doesn't make you a Christian. Please hear me today, church. I hope we understand that being lost cannot be reduced down to a geographical location, but rather being lost is induced through the condition of your heart. If we're not careful, we can develop some of the traits of the older brother. It's possible to be in the house, but never have a heart for the house. It's possible to know all about the Father, but never have a relationship with the Father. It's possible to be in church, but never to engage in his presence in church. Come on, you know the older brother. You know that person who spends more time judging instead of enjoying Jesus. How about the person who spends more time criticizing rather than celebrating his goodness? Or the person who spends more time worrying instead of worshiping? If we're not careful, we can develop traits of the older brother. I don't know what type of a sinner you are today. You might be the prodigal type, but you might be the Pharisee type. The good news is that Jesus came for both of you. Today in our churches, people walk in that are far from Jesus, but today what I want us to take just a few moments, 25 minutes and 20 seconds to be exact, and focus in on are some of us who could be in this house today who have somehow lost the beauty of a real relationship with Jesus, and somehow we've developed what I would call traits of the older brother. Because I see them in churches all the time. Let's just take a moment and let's look at this story. I just want to give you a couple things to write down today, and maybe you can go home and you can think about it just a little while longer. But the first thing I see is the Bible says that this younger brother, he returns home, and as he returns home, the father sees him from a distance, runs out to him, puts his arms around him, then he throws a party for him. But the Bible says that the older brother, he refuses to go in to the party. In fact, the Bible says that he becomes angry. Angry? See, the first thing that I see, if you're talking to yourself a little bit today, if you're looking at your own life, is that the older brother, the first trait is that he's got a party pooper attitude. This is fun in 9 a.m. church. He has a party pooper attitude. Oh yeah. The Bible says that he becomes angry. What are you angry about? You thought your younger brother was dead. It turns out he's alive, and this makes you angry? How many don't raise your hands? You ever met an angry person in church before? You ever met an angry usher? That's a scary person. Sit here. You're like, oh, you become Catholic quick. You're like, okay, I'm sorry, you know. Angry Christians, this is an oxymoron. Angry. You know that having a burden for the lost doesn't mean that you're angry at the lost. Someone said amen. If we're not careful, we can start to develop a party pooper attitude in church. A refusal to go in. Great stuff can be happening, a phenomenal celebration, an awesome party can be happening, but we can make a choice to say, no, I'm not going to participate. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to cross my arms and refuse to go in. Friends, hear me loud and clear. Jesus did not die up on an old wooden rugged cross just to be endured. No, he died to be enjoyed. Somebody said amen. This is the family of God. Healing Place Church, this is the family of God. You are the body of Christ. Now, I don't know what your family was like growing up. Maybe you had a dysfunctional family, but my family, it was a bit dysfunctional. But we knew how to go through hard times together, but we also knew how to party together. We knew that sometimes weeping would happen, but joy was always going to come in the morning. And there's a time to weep, there's a time to cry, but there's also a time to celebrate. There's also a time to laugh. There's also a time to party in God's house. God's house is a family. We ought to enjoy it together. So see the picture. The brother, he's outside, arms crossed, front lawn. No, I'm not going in there. No, forget it. No, I'm not doing it. A refusal to go in. But see, it's not just a refusal to go in, be on the outside. No, you can be on the inside and still refuse to go in. Well, I could break this down in a lot of different areas, but let's just use one area. Let's use worship. Worship. Just because worship's happening around you doesn't mean that you're worshiping. In fact, one of the scariest places you'll ever find yourself is to assume that you're on fire for God, but come to find out you were just sensing the heat from those around you. Hello. No. You can be in a worship service and never worship Jesus. Why? Because there's a difference between being present versus being engaged. How many know we're all present today? Some of us are choosing to be engaged today. It's like, you ever been on an elevator before? Do they have these out here? Elevators? Just wave at me if you've ever been on an elevator. 9 of us. Oh, Lord, we got to pray for this church. Okay, yeah, an elevator. Notice this. On an elevator, everybody's present. Few are engaged. Tomorrow, you really love Jesus. You're a crazy Christian. You get on the elevator Monday morning. Just notice, everybody is facing the same way. Nobody's happy. I don't know why. I mean, you're ascending to the 8th floor. You could be walking and burning calories, but instead, you can ascend like Jesus ascended. It's beautiful. Nobody's happy, though, but you're different. You're engaged. Tomorrow, when you get on that elevator, don't just face the doors like everybody else. No. Freak some people out.
get on that elevator and just, I want you to get on that elevator and just look at those people right in the face.
Happy Monday.
They would be like, oh my goodness, what's going on?
You look good.
Now, if you're really crazy, and I know I sense there's some people like this in the 9 a.m. service, okay? I want you to hit floor 2. You have to get in shape for this, okay? Hit floor 2. Run up to floor 6 on the steps. Hit that up arrow button, and when those doors open up, look at those people and say, hey, you were talking about me, weren't you? You were talking about me. You will freak somebody out on Monday morning.
Why? Because a lot of people are present, but not everybody's engaged. Worship can be this way. If you're not careful, you can come to God's house and you can completely miss the whole purpose of being in God's house. It wasn't just to be present, it was to be engaged with His presence. The truth of the matter is that you worship to the level that you believe you've been forgiven. I can prove it to you. Luke chapter 7, there's this beautiful story. Jesus is hanging out. He's lounging at this party. And all of a sudden, this woman, we don't get her name. The Bible simply says that she's a sinful woman. Can you imagine if everybody just knew you by your sin? We don't get your name. Just, hey, there's lust. Oh, sick. You know, that's how we know her. We don't get her name. We just know that she's a sinful woman. This could help in the dating process, though, couldn't it, right? You know, what's your name? Cheater? I'm out of here. You know, okay, so anyways, she walks in. This is what the Bible says. She walks in. All she's got is an alabaster jar of perfume. She makes her way to the feet of Jesus. She falls at His feet. She begins to weep. She begins to cry. It's messy. And as she's worshiping Jesus, somebody has the audacity to begin to criticize her. And Jesus says something that honestly, it makes me absolutely shake. He says, no, you don't understand. You do not understand. Those who've been forgiven little, they love little. But those who've been forgiven much, they love much. What He shows us is this, is people who don't worship are people who don't understand what He saved them from. I worship to the level I believe that I've been forgiven. I don't know where I'm at today, but I got news for you. I got a reason to shout, and I got a reason to jump. I got a reason to sing off key. I got a reason to dance off beat. He saved me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but He brought me back to life. His grace has set me free. He's placed me on a solid rock, and He's put a new song of praise in my mouth. If you believe it, you ought to give Jesus a real shout in this house today. Come on. I refuse to let a party pooper attitude take over my life. No. People getting saved. People meeting Jesus. There's a reason to party. Well, Pastor Rich, the service just started. What are you talking about? Yeah, well, we're going to worship in faith. We're going to party in faith. We're going to praise in faith. We're going to get down before somebody even turns their life over to Jesus because we believe He's that good and His kindness is going to draw someone into His house today. Man, I just got back from this youth conference and I'm just telling you, man, I am fired up. I'm watching young people, 13-year-olds at this altar, weeping and crying out to God. I don't know if you are seeing or not, but there is a reason for us to party today. There is a reason for us to celebrate today. He has bought us back. He paid the price. He has a good plan for our life. I don't want any traits of the older brother in my life. The second thing that I see a party pooper attitude. I'm just moving here. But secondly, I see that the older brother has what I would call a spirit of entitlement. Whew. A spirit of entitlement. This is what he says. He says, look, Dad, look. You know, if I was his dad, I'd be like, what? Telling me to look. I'll tell you to look. Look. I've been looking before you ever looked. Look. Who are you telling to look? I'll tell you something about looking, okay? You know nothing about looking. I've been looking long before you ever looked. Look. Look, Dad. All these years I've been slaving for you, and you never even gave me a young goat. What are we seeing? We're seeing a spirit of entitlement. I deserve something. Fastest way to kill a church is to let a spirit of entitlement develop. To think that we deserve something. to think that we've done something to bring ourselves to this place. You know people who deal with an entitled spirit. You ever take someone out to lunch and the bill comes and without them kind of knowing, you put your credit card down, you sign that bill, nobody says thank you. You're like, oh, I want to kill you in Christian love. You know people with spirit of entitlement, people that overlook all the small, seemingly insignificant tasks, never realizing that it's all the small tasks that develop a big and wonderful operation. I love this church. I got here this morning a little bit early, and I got in the parking lot. Rain's coming down. There's people in the parking lot waving at me with umbrellas, just happy to do it. They don't have to do it. They want to do it. Why? Because the reality is if you're too big to serve, you're way too small to lead. Ain't that the truth? I'll take claps from this section. I appreciate it. Thank you, Orange Shirt, for starting that. You're amazing. She just got that thing going, you know? I love my church. Honestly, I got to brag on my church. My church is cool. It's just, you're all invited. Come stay at my house. I've got a one-bedroom studio apartment, but you'll love it. Anyways, it's awesome. It's a church in the hood. Our church is called Trinity Church. It's right next door to the largest strip club in all of South Florida. You got Trinity and Tootsie's. True story. We're going to take that place over, satellite campus, Trinity's Tootsies. It's going to be amazing, okay? But we have the coolest people in our church. But I got to be honest with you. Some of the people in our church, man, like they're just, you know those kind of people, like, I'm not the judge, you know, but they're just barely saved. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just, ugh, I don't know. Good thing I'm not the judge. And, you know, I was up in church one day preaching, and our church began to grow. We do 5 services now in our weekend service, and we have a much smaller facility than this, but we break the chairs down for every service because we just believe that every service should be jam-packed. We're really just manipulating the people, but who knows? Anyways, so we break the chairs down, and so I remember for a while I was trying to develop some teams to help us break the chairs down. So I'm up on the platform like preaching, you know, come on, you know, stack a chair. Change the world, you know, like I'm preaching everything, you know, and to this day, I've never met anyone who's like, you know, Rich, I was in my prayer closet and God spoke to me. I'm supposed to stack chairs for Jesus. It's my spiritual calling. No, it's called serving. It's called work. Nobody wants to do that, but somebody answers the call, and I'm preaching, man, we need some people to help us stack chairs. And finally, one day after the service, this kid comes up to me. His name's Nelson. And Nelson walks up, and Nelson's just, he's just barely saved, okay? I mean, like, gold teeth still, pants really low, kind of scary, and he walks me, hey, yo, Pastor Rich! I'm like, yes, you know? Hey, I got a problem with you. Me? Why? Hey, yo, I want to stack some chairs. I was like, you can do whatever you want, just don't hurt the children, okay? Yeah, I want to stack chairs. I'm like, cool, let's get you doing it. And so we get him on a team, and, man, we just start watching Nelson. He's coming in early, you know, just staying late, just stacking chairs. We're like, this is amazing. This guy is really serious. And so before you know it, we're like, hey, Nelson, we're going to make you a captain of the chair stacking team. He's coming in early still, staying late, just stacking chairs. We're like, oh, my goodness, look at Nelson. I mean, this guy is amazing. Nelson, we're going to make you a captain of captains of the chair stacking team. I mean, he just keeps coming in early. He's staying late. I mean, he's just going. Finally, we're looking at him. I'm like, oh, my goodness, Nelson, you are amazing. We just made Nelson the director of the chair stacking ministry. The director. He's got multiple teams of chair stackers underneath him. I came into church not too long ago on a Monday night. You know you really love Jesus if you show up to church on Monday. Coming on a Monday night, he's got close to 40 young adults, and they are going through the entire sanctuary praying over all of the chairs because every chair represents a person, and every person represents a soul, and every soul has an eternity. Nelson came to me not too long ago. Say, oh, Pastor Rich, I got a problem with you. I said, oh, Nelson, I thought we were beyond this bridge. Stop. No. I got to talk to you, man. I go, what is it? I got a problem. I go, okay, enough. Lower your voice. I'm getting scared, you know? I'm tired of you calling it the chair stacking ministry. I said, what you mean, man? I'm in charge of this thing. I started this thing. He said, no, we've changed the name. We are now called the Seating Engineers Ministry. Come on, church, don't you love it when somebody takes something small and says, I can do something big with it? The Seating Engineer Ministry. See, I love this, man.
Because if you get this mentality that you deserve something, that you've done something to get here, well, all of a sudden, if you deserve it, it's because you've achieved it. If you've achieved it, there is a limit. But what I love about the grace of God is grace rips the limits off, and I realize I am not my own, but I was bought at a price. I am who I am by the grace of God. If you believe it, somebody give him a shout today. I didn't bring myself here. This was his plan. This was his purpose. This is his calling. If he started it, he's going to finish it. But I make a decision today to say, I'm not going to let a spirit of entitlement develop in my life. I've been saved by grace through faith. My righteousness is like dirty rags, but thank God for Jesus. That today when his Heavenly Father sees me, doesn't see me for all the bad I've done, but rather he sees me for all the good that Jesus has done. As the worship team makes their way back up here, I see this last little point. We see that this older brother's got a party pooper attitude. We see that he has a spirit of entitlement. But then lastly, this is what I see. I see that this older brother, he has a judgmental heart. Judgmental heart. Notice, the Bible says that the younger brother, he returns home, and the older brother refuses to go to the party. He's out in the front lawn. He's angry. Dad comes out to him at the party. And the older brother, he says this. He says, look, Dad, all these years I've been here slaving for you. You never even gave me a young goat, let alone a calf. You're throwing a party. He says, when my younger brother comes home, who squandered all of his inheritance on prostitutes. I was thinking to myself, how does the older brother know that the younger brother's been with prostitutes? Was he getting emails, or was there some kind of Twitter I'm unaware of? He hasn't even taken time to say hello. But what do we see? We see that a judgmental heart will always assume the worst in people long before it ever sees the best in people. And friend, if there's one thing that Healing Place Church cannot allow to permeate these walls, is a judgmental heart. The last thing a prodigal needs when they walk in through the back of those doors is for someone to see them and assume the worst of them. Oh, I know where they've been. I know what they've been up to. I know what they've been doing. No, they need you to see the best in them. Oh, you might have been this, but God declares that you are that. Oh, you might have a past, but God declares there is a bright future in front of you. Judgment that comes from the pit of hell. Please never mistake condemnation versus conviction. Condemnation paralyzes you, puts you into guilt. Conviction points you to Jesus and says, cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. See, it's the devil who condemns you today. Friend, you ever consider if the devil keeps bringing up your past, maybe it's because he's running out of new material? I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but it's 9 a.m. I feel like church is about to go wild. Daddy's been with prostitutes, throwing a party for him. What's this all about? Please see this picture. This is so beautiful to me. We see this dad, and he makes his way out to the older brother. Son, we're throwing a party. Awesome things are happening. You're a part of it. Come on inside. Come be a part of what's happening right now. It's not the same without you. We see him a few verses earlier as the prodigal, this guy who's made crazy mistakes, who's lost it all. He hasn't even gotten to his dad's doorstep, but when the father sees him from a long way off, we see that he begins to run to him. Why? Because slow are the feet of repentance, but swift are the feet of grace. We see this dad, we see this father in both scenarios, and the picture we see is that he comes to us. Whoever you are today, whatever you're dealing with,
good news. Jesus has come for you. Whether you're the prodigal or the Pharisee, whether you committed the crime or you judged the crime, Jesus has grace for you. Son, come back inside. We're throwing a party. It's not the same without you. Just come on in. Come on in. And this is what he says, and this is, I gotta close. He says this. He says, son, you have always been with me. And everything I have is yours. But this brother of yours, he was lost and he's found. He was dead. But now he's alive. We had to celebrate. Son, you've always been with me. Everything I have, it's yours. Been thinking about that. Son, you've always been with me. Everything I have, it's yours. And with our closing minutes here, only way I can illustrate is by telling you a story. Last year, I flew 240,000 air miles preaching this good news all across the world. And when you start to fly a lot on one airline, you start to get this thing called airline status. It's kind of nice. They start to treat you a little bit nicer on airplanes. And last year alone, I think I flew through Australia 6 or 7 different times. And whenever I fly, I just always fly in economy. I just fly, you know, just economy class. And whenever I get to the airports, I just usually always stay where, you know, everybody else is staying, at the gate. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a pastor, and he said, Rich, have you ever been to the Qantas first class lounge in the Sydney airport? I said, no, I've never been. I just fly economy, so I can't get in there. I said, no, you don't understand. Your status gives you access into the lounge. Friends, I had flown through this airport 5 or 6 times already that year. He said, next time you're there, you've got to check it out. It's life-changing. I said, really? He said, yeah, you got to do it. So I was there back in January, and I landed, and I had a friend with me, and I said, Phil, I said, do you want to see the Qantas first-class lounge? He said, yeah, let's go check it out. So we began the journey. We had to go through hallways and back stairs, and finally we came to 2 unmarked doors, and we approached the doors, and as we approached, the doors just automatically opened up. And I walked in a little bit shy, a little bit timid, and, you know, there was this man behind the counter. He was just typing. I don't think he was even real. His hair was perfectly coiffed. His skin was pulled back very tightly. I kind of walked in. I said, sir, are we allowed to come in here? To me, he said, what is your name? Rich Wilkerson. Let me see your ticket. So I kind of handed him my ticket. He starts typing. What are they typing? I don't know. Finally, he finishes typing. He looks up. He says, Mr. Wilkerson, we have been waiting for you. Enter at your leisure. I walked into this place. Friends, have you ever wondered what heaven looks like? The Qantas first class lounge. Everything was white leather. They had free internet. They had a spa in the airport. Who gets a massage at the airport? I do. Hello. The best part, they got a restaurant. I sit down at the restaurant. They give me a menu. On the menu, everything is free. It's unbelievable. I'm eating waffles and crepes and white egg omelet, high protein. I'm sitting there and a young girl's fanning me with a leaf. And I lean over. I say, Phil, ain't this something? All these years I've been traveling through this airport and I never even knew that I had access into this lounge. And as the words came out of my mouth, I heard heaven speak to me so clearly. And I heard the voice of God say, Rich, that's what my people look like in the church today. So many people do not realize that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you now have access to heaven's throne. You now can be engaged with his presence. Because you have access, you have his authority. Because you have his authority, you have all of his prosperity. Everything you've ever needed is found in him, because he's always been with you. He's never left you.
He's never forsaken you. He's the God who goes with you, before you, behind you, and around you. Whatever you need today, he's with you. Son, I've always been with you. And everything I have is yours. Church, everything he has is yours. Do you realize today, whether you're the prodigal or the Pharisee, that because of Jesus, you have access to the Father? He's here today, and he's doing what he's always done. He's come with grace, and he's come with truth. And he's come to you, whether you're outside the front with your arms crossed, angry about something, or whether someone drug you in here, and you were all night last night partying till the wee hours of the morning. He's come with open arms and said, I've always been with you, and everything I have is yours. Would you just bow your heads all across this place today? We're completely out of time, and I just want to pray for you today before we leave. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around today. Just wonder, before we go, I know it's the 9 a.m. service, but before we go, if you'd be honest, you say, Rich, my life is not right with Jesus. I'm not asking today if you need prayer for your grandmother. I'm not asking today if you need prayer to have a happier life. I'm asking today, is your life right with Jesus Christ? I don't know what kind of a sinner you are. You might be the prodigal type, or you might be the Pharisee type. Either way, Jesus has come for you. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed, there's nobody looking around today. You'd be honest in a moment of transparency. Today, Rich, I need Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus, the God who came to me because I couldn't get to him. If that's you today, your head's bowed, your eyes are closed, there's nobody looking around today. I just want you to be bold today. If that's you, just lift your hand up high enough and long enough on the count of three, just so I can see it. Hands have already started to go up. I love a room full of faith, but on the count of three, if that's you, here we go. Ready? One. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Don't wait till next week. Who knows if you have a next week? All you have is today. Come on, two. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about the person that brought you to church. They don't even matter in this moment. It's between you and Jesus. Come on, three, all over this place. If that's you, just lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. That's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Hands going up all over this house. Come on, church, can we just all stand to our feet today? All over this house, just can we just all stand to our feet? And can we just lift our hands high up to the heaven? The Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Today, we're going to hold the word to the word. We're going to believe today that the word is true. Jesus said, yet to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called the sons of God, children of God. Today, with your hands lifted up, you have access to heaven's throne. I want to lead you in a prayer, and then we're going to sing this song, and we're going to worship like never before, because we've got a reason today to worship the true King and the true Lord. His name is Jesus. Say, dear Jesus. Come on, church. Come on. Say, dear Jesus. Today, Lord, I surrender all that I am over to you. Today, I put my trust in you. Jesus, I give you all of me. I ask that you would forgive me. I reach to heaven to receive all that you have. Take my past. Take my present. I even place my future in your hands. I'm yours, Lord. Completely surrendered to you. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, church, can we throw a party in this house right now for those that just prayed that prayer? Come on.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.